Father, I just thank you that we can just come into your presence, that you are always here, that there's never a place that we can go from you, and that you would just open our hearts today to hear what you would have for us. Transform us into the image of your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So what is it that makes people successful in life? You know, most of us assume that successful people are those who have some kind of special talent. They're just innately intelligent. They possess some rare or special skill that nobody else has. Well, psychologist Angela Duckworth sought to uncover what the source of success is in people. And as part of her research, she visited West Point Military Academy to identify the factors that would indicate which candidates would end up dropping out and which are the ones that succeeded. Well, West Point already has an overall candidate score to grade its candidates based on SAT scores, high school grades, fitness, and athletic achievement. And so Duckworth expected that the candidates with the highest overall candidate score would be the ones less likely to drop out. And yet her findings indicated that a higher academic score and higher IQ did not determine candidate success. And she then designed a questionnaire to get at another score, a grit score. And this included questions about perseverance and passion, such as how often do you start a project and then put it down? Or how often do your interests change in any given year? And to her surprise, higher candidate scores did not correlate with higher grit scores. She found many high-profile West Point candidates who would choose to give up training early on. And she began to have a feeling that success was more about staying power, determination, and perseverance. And so when she compared the grit scores of candidates that had dropped out, she wasn't surprised to find a higher grit score meant that candidates were less likely to abandon their dreams. And many researchers have confirmed the same thing, that grit, more than anything else, is the biggest factor to project success in a person's life. And it turns out that grit and perseverance is not just important in our life of success in the world, but also in our spiritual lives. And so turn to your Bibles today. We're going to be looking at this parable that Jesus presented us with today in Luke chapter 18. This is 18 verses 1 through 9. Now, at first, the parable of the persistent woman appears to be, well, simply a parable about prayer. Don't give up on praying, just keep praying, and everything's going to work out fine. Well, the parable presents two opposing forces, the widow and the judge. Now, in the Old Testament, widows were amongst the most vulnerable people in society. And that's because they were often provided with no means of support. If a husband left an estate, they didn't inherit it. If they remained in the husband's families, they would have an inferior, almost servile position. And if they returned back to their own families, the money that was exchanged at the wedding was supposed to be given back. And in fact, many widows were often sold as slaves. Now, in the courts, male members of the household normally represented women. But in this parable, the widow has no brother, no uncle, no nephew, no son. She is a vulnerable member of society in a desperate situation. She wants justice, and most likely because property had been illegally taken from her. And to find justice, the widow must convince a judge to give it to her. But he's not the kind of judge any of us would want to have. Verse 2, we're told that he had no fear of God and refused to recognize God's authority. And so this woman can't appeal to the judge pleading, "For God's sake, grant me justice. God will hold you accountable for your actions." it would only have fallen on deaf ears, wouldn't it? And at the same time, the judge didn't respect people. And so the widow can't appeal to a sense of shame for the treatment that she was receiving because he didn't care what people thought of him. The widow's situation appeared hopeless and justice closed off. And therefore, she played the only card that was available to her: loud, persistent pleading. So in 2016, a 5-year-old boy was sodomized by his elderly uncle in Malaysia. And when the boy told his mother about the incident, she immediately took him to a doctor, and the doctor confirmed the worst. And she immediately reported it to the police, who began an investigation. In the meantime, the perpetrator's family began to threaten the boy's mother if she didn't settle the matter quietly. But she declined. She wanted justice, and she persisted despite the resistance she was facing. Now, when a month had passed, with the culprit still on the loose, the boy's mother went to the press and told them the story. Willing to use whatever means necessary, she refused to give up until she got justice for her son. And that's the same kind of persistence that we see in the widow in this parable. A persistence despite the resistance she faced. In verses 4 and 5, the judge said to her, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not be beat down by her continual coming." And so is the message of this parable. Therefore, simply this: exhaust God with your repetitious prayers until he finally gives in to you. If we just pester God enough, we're going to get our wishes. Well, something more is going on here. You know, the parable is located at the beginning of chapter 18 and serves actually as a conclusion to Jesus' teaching on the future of the kingdom of God, when Jesus will reign on earth and all things will be made right. Until that time, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17:22, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." And that's where we are today. We long for King Jesus and his justice. But when will it come? You know, I have to confess, I've had times in my life when I've just given up on God, you know, where I practically walked away. So in my 20s, I had gone to Africa wanting to discern if God was calling me to be a missionary. And during my 2.5 years in the Democratic Republic of Congo, I got a chance to meet many missionaries. But I became disillusioned by what I found. Missionaries who didn't care about sharing the gospel and who merely pursued careers such as an auto mechanic or a principal of a school. And while they worked among people barely able to subsist, they imported Western conveniences and luxuries for themselves. Now, of course, not all missionaries are like that. But I was young, and I was impressionable. And I became so disillusioned with God and his self-proclaimed representatives that I said to myself, well, if that's what being a missionary is all about, I might as well go out and make money. And so that's what I did. I started to pursue a career in business after that. Now, many of you have given up on God as well and decided to take things into your own hands. Perhaps you've been emotionally hurt by someone and have carried around the pain for some time now. Rather than believing God for healing or seeking reconciliation, you've given up. You said to yourself, what's the use of this? You've refused to take any more steps of faith and have decided to cut yourself off emotionally and spiritually from that one place in your life. Or perhaps you've given up on praying for the salvation of a friend or family member because it has just taken so long. Or perhaps you've given up hope on being reconciled with an estranged child. Or perhaps you've given up the possibility of healing for yourself or a loved one. Or perhaps you look with disheartened eyes at the state of the world or this country. The parable of the persistent woman is not a parable about pestering God until he cracks. It's an encouragement to pray and not grow weary during this time as we wait on God's deliverance to come. Look at verse 7, where Jesus says, "Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" So in Greek, this is actually just one long sentence. And the word translated delay literally means to have patience. And so many commentators have actually translated this verse as, "Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night, given he is patient with them?" The word patience means long suffering that endures insults and wrongs without retaliating. It means having a long fuse. It's the type of patience that Paul mentions as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And it's a characteristic of God. And thus, while the judge in the parable doesn't care about the widow, this verse emphasizes God's care for his elect. Without God's patience, we could not expect a favorable judgment. This verse provides a means of contrasting the situation of the widow from that of disciples of Jesus. If such persistence as the widow in the parable pays off, how much more will the persistence in prayer when we kneel before a compassionate and patient God? Jesus makes clear that we are not in the presence of a grim judge who wants nothing to do with us. God's praying people are in a more advantageous position, no matter how powerless they feel. In prayer, disciples of Jesus are in the presence of a loving Father who has the power to do all things and yet cares deeply, deeply for them. What is it that you long to be made right? What is it about the world or your life where you seek vindication? Don't give up. Keep praying. God will make things right. Now, at first, verse 8 appears to promise more than we could possibly believe. In referring to those who cry out to him day and night, Jesus says, "I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." And that sounds as if we pray without ceasing, that we're going to get a quick answer to prayer. But let's remember the context. In chapter 17, Jesus says that he will return to bring justice to our broken world. He never says that day will arrive shortly. He never says the day will arrive shortly, but he does say that it will come suddenly. Jesus says, "Like the days of Noah, so will be the days of the Son of Man. People will be eating and drinking and marrying, completely unprepared for the coming.